Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I found out right near the end of practice. I had no idea what to expect, and it's irrelevant anyway, whatever any of us feel. It's, we accept the ruling, and we move on to game five. They made their decision, and we've got to get ready for game five, and that's what we'll do today. We use everybody. We've used every single guy during the playoffs. They've all been important. And then as far as the game itself, we're going to play a lot of people, and we'll give a lot of different looks, and we'll compete like crazy, and I think we'll give ourselves a great chance to win.
One that happened last game was totally different. There was no play that happened. It was kind of one of those situations where you just want to add insult to injury. I don't know what LeBron's intention was. Like I said, you have to ask him. Draymond thought it was disrespectful and wanted to get up and say something. That was his reaction to it. I would have probably done the same thing. There have been some cool moments where AI's done it. Obviously, Ty Lue didn't like it at the time. Neither did any of the Laker team, but it was AI's cool moment. Everybody remembers it. You could single out a lot of different plays in the history of the game where you add a little insult to injury just, you know, enjoying the moment.
I mean, it's disappointing, but I'm not going to let it get us down. We had the next man up approach all year. Draymond, we know it's going to kill him not being there, but we're going to go out there and we're going to do it as a team and win for him and go out there and try and make a statement on our home floor.
I don't know how the man feels, or obviously people have feelings and people's feelings get hurt even if they're called a bad word. I guess his feelings just got hurt.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to comment on what Clay said, because I know where it can go from this sit-in. It's so hard to take the high road. I've been doing it for 13 years. It's so hard to continue to do it, and I'm going to do it again. At the end of the day, we got to go out. We got to show up and play better tomorrow night. And if we don't, then they're gonna be back-to-back champions. I'm taking the high road again.
We still have to play. I mean, it doesn't mean anything because we suspended. They still have a great team, and we got to come out and play basketball. We can't worry about the suspension. Well, it's part of the game, and some guys, they thrive off, you know, talking stuff, you know, on the floor. But, you know, a lot of things are said on the floor that are not right. But, you know, just part of the game, and I don't know what crossing the line is, but you just play the game. I mean, the trash talking happens, but if you're winning the game, you should talk trash. Do something about it. Just win one game. You know, bring everything we got to win one game. And I told the guys before we left, we have to come back to Cleveland anyway, so why not come back and play a game? You know, we got to give everything we got. You know, our backs are against the wall, and we got to be prepared just to win one game.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Did you hear what Steph Curry's wife said about that high road that LeBron was talking about? Did you hear that? Did you catch that? Well, she didn't say it. She tweeted it, but close enough. And in 2016, a tweet is your statement. Ayesha Curry, who made a point a year ago, by the way, in the last time the NBA Finals consisted of the Cavaliers and the Warriors, Mrs. Curry made a point of trolling Cavs fans then, too. She posted or tweeted a picture a year ago. You may remember this. Maybe you don't. It was a beatdown. It was a beatdown that the Warriors put on the Cavaliers. This is June 12, almost to the... In fact, yesterday was the day. What am I saying? Exactly a year ago. To the day, June 12, 2015. The Warriors were able to run away from the Cavaliers in the final 12 minutes of regulation on Thursday night, leaving thousands of fans in attendance at Quicken Loans Arena with little to cheer for. As if the all-time beatdown wasn't bad enough, Ayesha Curry decided to take a parting jab at Cleveland's fan base before heading back to Oakland for Game 5 at Oracle Arena on Sunday evening. And it showed a little picture of little Riley Curry sleeping away at the game. And she tweeted, "Nothing like hashtag Roracle Arena. Riley slept through the entire first half both nights here in Cleveland. Can't wait to get back home to the Bay. Hashtag two more to go. We bring the noise in the Bay." So trolling Cavaliers fans last year, now Ayesha Curry sticks her nose into business that is not hers regarding LeBron James' statement that he's not going to respond to Clay. He's going to take the high road. Ayesha Curry throws up yesterday, literally 1 year to the day, high road, invisible bridge used to step over said person when open floor is available, left to right. That's Ayesha Curry just throwing another shot at the Cavaliers and LeBron. If you're looking for new reasons to hate Steph Curry, if you're looking for new reasons to hate the Warriors, other than just rooting for the Cavaliers to win the finals, which we all know is virtually, you know, next to impossible now, if you're looking for another reason, though, she keeps giving it to us. Like Mike Greenberg said this morning, family is usually off limits when it comes to, as she said, when you marry a famous person or somebody in your family becomes famous, they're off limits to criticism unless they start it. And she's starting with the Cleveland Cavaliers, Cavs fans, LeBron James, and you know what? If she starts hearing it back on Twitter, well, so be it. Don't hold it against us. Welcome to the Extravaganza. At 12 minutes after 3, we begin right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, NBA Finals game number 5 tonight. It's going to have a little extra spice because it's going to have a little less green, a little less Draymond green. It's about freaking time. We're going to get into all of that as the day goes on today. And we're going to start with some analysis from our good friend covering the Cleveland Cavaliers out of Cleveland. And that is Dennis Mantiloff for the Northeast Ohio Media Group, Cleveland Plain Dealer, and Cleveland.com. D-Man, what is going on, big brother?
Hey, how you doing, Bob? Thanks for having me.
So what do you think, Draymond? Everybody's talking about the suspension for the backhanded rabbit punch he did at LeBron James' groin, and everybody doesn't seem to understand why he was suspended, because it's not for that one incident. It is the cumulative effect of being a cheap shot artist through the entire playoff season and collecting flagrants like they were free. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Draymond Green deserves what he gets. He deserved this. But listen, Bob, all of this stuff, all of this drama, again, classic NBA drama, it's window dressing. It means nothing tonight. Tonight, the Golden State Warriors are going to win the championship, okay? I mean, please, they're not going to lose this game. I don't care if they don't have Draymond Green. They're going to win the game, all right? So all of this talk about, oh, no Green, what is it going to mean, and da-da-da-da-da. The Warriors are a better team than the Cavaliers, and they're going to win tonight in their building.
I would be very hard-pressed to disagree with that. In fact, I won't disagree with that. The story, though, is so much bigger than that, because even other NBA players, they're complaining that LeBron James is getting the break. They're complaining that King James is getting the star treatment, that this shouldn't have been a suspendable occurrence because he stepped over Draymond Green anyway. And so there's a bigger picture here. Well, there's nothing bigger than the championship. There's another picture here, and that is they feel like Draymond Green is being suspended for something that he didn't instigate, that LeBron James did, and that that the NBA has overstepped their bounds here.
It doesn't matter whether it was instigated or not by somebody else. Look, if you've got, if you've got a threshold that, you know, of fouls or points or whatever, however they term it, and you know, you're right at that line, and one more and you're suspended, I can go up to you and poke you and poke you and poke you and poke you, and if you respond, then you're in trouble. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And I don't see, again, I'm from Cleveland, so people say, oh, you're a homer, you love LeBron. I don't see that LeBron was that ridiculously disrespectful and egregious, but even if he was, he doesn't have a resume of goonishness. Okay, he doesn't have punches and kicks to the junk. So he doesn't, even if you got him there, he's not going to get suspended because he doesn't have all those previous sins. That's the key here.
No, nobody is suggesting, though, Dennis, to my understanding, and I, you know, like you, I mean, I watch and I listen and I read like everybody. I haven't heard anybody saying LeBron should also have been suspended for stepping over Draymond Green. They're saying that Green getting a flagrant here, especially not called flagrant on the floor, but decided in between games, like it seems like everything the NBA does, but that they skipped over the tech. They could have just gone tech, and that's not suspendable because it wouldn't have been four flagrants. They could have said tech for LeBron for stepping over him, tech for Draymond Green for, you know, the punch to the groin or the attempted punch to the groin or whatever. And, you know, double techs play on. And they're saying that, you know, that this is something, had he not been LeBron James, they would not have given him a flagrant, upgraded that to a flagrant.
Well, to me, I'm fine with your scenario, Bob. But to me, it comes down to this. Draymond Green needs to keep his arms and legs away from the male groin region, okay? Or the groin region, all right?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. If Draymond Green had not swiped at LeBron's groin, we wouldn't be having this discussion, okay? But he's a serial groin offender. That's not acceptable. It should never be acceptable in professional sports. But again, and I heard Stephen A. Smith last night, one of the most laughable comments in the history of commentary, that this game will be tainted because of no Draymond Green. The game's going to be tainted regardless of whether the Warriors win. I'm like, what? I mean, okay, so the Golden State Warriors win the championship, and somehow they're going to be like, you know what? This win was tainted because we didn't have Draymond Green, and Green wasn't here to enjoy it. What a bunch of malarkey. I mean, look, Golden State, Draymond Green is going to be a happy man later tonight, all right? He's going to get over this suspension real fast. And you know what? He's going to be able to say, I played a role not only in the regular season and in the postseason, but in the final. He could say, look, I had a good finals overall. And so nobody's going to care that he was suspended in game five when the Warriors win. So it's just a bunch of hooey to me.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. And because the part about this, we're talking to Dennis Manteloff, the part about this that bothers me the most is this suggestion, as you say, that it'll be tainted or something. When the fact of the matter is, when you have been collecting flagrants as frequently as this guy has for the entire playoffs, you don't then get to complain about the severity of the one that puts you over the threshold for the suspension. You would not have gotten this suspension on that simple backhand to the junk flagrant. You would not have gotten it had you not done the other three, had you not kicked Steven Adams in the groin, which should have resulted immediately in because they upgraded it to a flagrant two, but they didn't do it until after the game, which means he didn't get ejected for 3.5 quarters, which he would have been. So this guy should have been ejected on two previous occasions, should have been suspended on a previous occasion, and now because this one might not be as severe and might have been more of a reactionary hit than a premeditated one because James stepped over him, you're going to complain and say it's unfair or this is somehow tainted. I totally agree with you. Now, I don't think it's going to change the game. I think they're probably going to win at home anyway, just like you do. But the idea that it would be tainted if they don't, if the Cavaliers go out there and just have a monster game, and whether it's because Green isn't there or not, doesn't matter. But that's how they spin it, as the NBA gave this one to LeBron because they went. And that's what I actually heard today too, Dennis, because they want a 7-game series. They want their money's worth, so they're getting rid of Green just to help LeBron get this back to Cleveland in the hopes they can get to a game 7.
Well, the NBA was not the impetus for Green kicking Steven Adams and throwing down Beasley and all that other stuff. And we're not even talking about what Draymond Green gets away with when the whistle, you know, isn't blowing, and when the clock is in motion. You know, it's extraordinary what the NBA has allowed Draymond Green to do.
Yeah.
So I think, if anything, the Warriors and Green should be thankful that the NBA has not fouled Draymond Green out of half of the games that he plays, because he commits about 20 fouls a night. But, yeah, I mean, this is an accumulation thing. It's not a one-time out-of-the-blue deal. Then, you know, obviously if there was somehow a way that Draymond Green was suspended for a one-time incident, then of course you could say, all right, maybe there's a conspiracy here or the fix is in. But, you know, and LeBron wasn't the one who prompted Draymond Green to kick Steven Adams or throw down Beasley or do whatever else he does.
Or
LeBron had nothing to do with that.
Prior to that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, come on, let's just... Look, the Warriors are plenty good enough to play and win without Draymond Green. Yes, he's an important piece, but they're at home. If this game had been in Cleveland, I probably would have told you it was a pick 'em. tonight, but because it's in Golden State, they're going to be so jacked up. The Splash Brothers are going to be out of their minds tonight. I expect a comfortable victory for the Warriors, and I'm not saying it because I'm glad about it. Of course not. You know me, Bob. My loyalties are in Cleveland, but all I've seen is a better team. One team is better than the other. I wouldn't call it a mismatch, but clearly Golden State is a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Sorry.
No, you can't argue that at all. They are. You're right. There's no question about that. The question is what happened, though? The way the Cavaliers played that better team in Game 3 was unbelievable. The defensive intensity, the sharing of the ball. LeBron got going and was leading the way. Kyrie was leading the way early in that game, obviously at 16 in the first. And JR was confident. And then things kind of, it wasn't a blowout. Obviously, it was nip and tuck pretty much for the first three quarters. And then that fourth quarter, things went wrong in Game 4. We know the numbers by now. Either LeBron or Kyrie took all but three shots in the fourth quarter. They weren't looking for other guys. They weren't looking for J.R. Smith. I'm not saying anybody froze anybody out. Some people are calling it, the return of hero ball, where these guys, I'm going to take this one by myself. I can't trust anybody else. I'm going to do this. So it just, things kind of went off the rails there in the fourth quarter after looking as efficient and with as great a chemistry as they had, even in those first couple of series in the East in Game 3. And for part of Game 4, suddenly they just kind of fell back into their bad habits. So you're right. Golden State is better, but the Cavaliers were good enough to win at least one and maybe two of those games. And why did it fall apart?
Well, first of all, I think that Golden State, they'll never admit it publicly, but I think after the first two games, they thought this was going to be a cakewalk. They thought they had Cleveland mastered, and they were going to win it in four games, no problem. They were going to go to the queue where they had won the previous three times and beat them again. So I think they waltzed into Game 3, and Cleveland punched them in the mouth and kept punching. And that was a wake-up call, if you will, to Golden State, that if, that Cleveland's here to play, that they can be good on their home floor, really good, and they can be physical, and we have to, match it. And that got their attention, and they came out in Game 4 and played much better. Look, the Cavaliers in Game 4 would have blown out 90% of the teams in the NBA through three quarters, all right, the way they were playing. I thought the Cavaliers played pretty darn well. The problem is their competition was so good, was a historically great team, that they weren't able to shake them. And, even maybe mid-third probably was where they started to taper off. But, they weren't able to shake Golden State, and Golden State simply wore them out, wore them down with their team offense and team defense. And what you saw in the fourth quarter, look, the Cavaliers don't really have a plan C, okay? Plan A is the King, plan B is Kyrie. And after that, they really don't have a plan C. They don't have a team concept that they fall back on consistently. The ball movement, passing, cutting, all that kind of stuff, high screen. It becomes hero ball because that's what they know how to do best. And they have two very, very, very accomplished individual players to do it against most teams. But when you run into a terrific defensive team, a team that has a stopper, a LeBron stopper in Andre Iguodala, or a LeBron container in Iguodala, which very few teams have, by the way. Then on top of that, you have, Golden State's length, their quickness, their physicality on defense. Now all of a sudden, it's not as easy to do hero ball. It's not as easy to be successful with hero ball. All right, so you've kind of had trouble with LeBron and Kyrie getting free for good shots and good scores. All right, what do you fall back on now? That's where the panic sets in. That's where the dribbles start. That's where the 22-second possessions occur, and then you jack up a shot. So it's more about what Golden State is doing to the Cavs than what the Cavs are not doing.
Dennis Manilov's our guest, breaking down the NBA Finals Game 5 tonight. D-Man is calling for a Golden State win, a handy one, as they celebrate in their own building.
Not happy about it.
No, yeah, but that's what you're calling. That's your prediction. And they'll celebrate in their locker room instead of turning the Cavaliers visiting locker room into a champagne smell that they wonder if they'll still be able to sense the next year. That's one of the things they did this year that just got a lot of people irritated. Last thing about LeBron and Hero Ball. I think a lot of people who have been watching him in these playoffs and again, have watched him to struggle very, very mightily with the jump shot, are wondering exactly how long will he be able to be effective doing the just ramrodding my way to the hoop thing, especially given the fact that Andre Iguodala, as you pointed out, but also Draymond Green and everybody else that have been matched up with him, and then somebody will slump off and provide help defense and swipe at him inside. It's just very hard to get in and score on a regular, consistent basis when everybody knows you're coming because you don't trust your J. As he turns age 32, and then 33, and the miles rack up, of course, on those phenomenally athletic legs of his, and they become a step or two slower. If he doesn't add that jump shot that is consistent, how long can he be the threat to keep carrying a team to the finals and to try to win that first championship in the city of Cleveland and his third overall?
I'm going to say rediscover the jumper, Bob, because there's been a stretch of his career where it's been really, really good. You know, he's had a good jump shot. I certainly remember it in Miami. So I'm not going to say that he would have to find the jumper. He'd have to rediscover it or create it because it's there perhaps to be rediscovered. Look, I don't think it's even about LeBron and how he plays as much as the Cavaliers are going to have to step back and say, all right, if we want to beat the Warriors, and they are the gold standard, we need to rethink how we play offense. Okay, and for that matter, defense. Now, with defense, you have to probably sub out personnel, all right? You have to get different guys in because I don't think Kyrie's DNA is going to change. I don't think Kevin Love's DNA is going to change. The other guys on the team are not going to suddenly get longer and quicker. So you would have to shuffle personnel if you wanted to become a really sticky defensive team. But on offense, you can keep what you have and just try to take it to that next level, which is team first and individual hero ball second. Or, you know, and of course there's room for ISOs. Of course there's room for, you have to make room for LeBron's individual skills and Kyrie's individual skill. But I'm saying you dovetail it more into a team concept, and you run plays to perfection, and then off of those plays you have permutations. That doesn't really exist with the Cavaliers right now. They need to rethink their offensive philosophy, coming off of this series, in my opinion.
And Dennis, speaking of the offensive thinking and everything,
how's
it going, Jim Kuzlin here? It gets me thinking. It's kind of lost now with all the Green suspension talk, but it actually feels to me even more relevant with him not in the lineup. If you're Tyronn Lue in the Cavs, is Kevin Love back in the starting lineup tonight?
That's a good one. I'll go again with Jefferson. I know Jefferson had a clunker in game four, but
yeah, he was much less impressive in game four.
Yeah, he was.
He just didn't really offer anything. I was very disappointed by that. I thought he would go back to Love tonight after that.
Well, he very well might, Bob, but I would still stick with Jefferson because I think, honestly, and I'm not making excuses, but maybe I am, Richard Jefferson, I think, was on tired legs in game four. One day's rest between three and four. I think a world of difference 2 days off between games instead of one, especially for these veteran guys like Jefferson and like LeBron. I think you'll see, you know, Jefferson with a spring in his step again if he starts. And again, even if he doesn't, even if Love starts, to me it's not that big of a deal because, it's not like soccer where you can't, sub a guy out. If you see that Kevin Love, let's say Kevin Love starts, and you see he's ineffective, bang, it's an elimination game. Bye, you're out for a while, okay? We're going to sub in guys until something works. You don't sit there and say, well, we'll ride Kevin Love for 30 minutes to see if he gets, you know, on track. And oh, by the way, you're down 30, all right? No, if he's not effective early, and I mean really early, then next guy up. You know, if Jefferson starts tonight and he's not effective, boom, out. Here comes Love or somebody else. You just keep shuffling them in until you find something that works, because you're really in that situation where you have to. You can't wait around for any player other than probably LeBron or Kyrie on the Cavs. You can't wait around for any of those guys to get their, you know, their legs under them or start to play well. They have to play well from the jump.
D-Man, last thing, if you're wrong and they get it done tonight, if they shock the world and win at Oracle Arena tonight in Game 5, are we going to a Game 7?
Now you've got me. Now you've got me going to be – I'm going to be accused of being a Cleveland hater, which I hate because I'm not a Cleveland hater. I'm going to say no.
So you if know, they shock them and win on the road in Oakland, yeah. You don't think they would come back to the queue and keep that momentum and win Game 6?
No, just because I don't like this matchup.
Okay.
I haven't liked it from the beginning of the series, Bob. I said I thought the Golden State would win in 5 or 6 games. That was my prediction. I got reamed. I got ripped. I got, you know, emails. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, you know what? I mean, I've been called an idiot before. And
look, you and I, we are in the opinion-giving business. And when we give opinions, some people are going to hate them or they're going to call us idiots and everything else. I get more hate mail than you could even imagine.
But
those people. Just say what you think.
The key is educated opinion, okay? I've watched the Golden State Warriors a lot in the last couple of years. I've watched every possession of every Cavs game the last couple of years. So I think I have an educated analysis here. Golden State is a bad matchup for the Cavs. It was a bad matchup 5 games ago. It's a bad matchup now. It'll be a bad matchup in 2 days or 3 days or whatever if it gets that far. So I just don't like it. I mean, if you'd have had me talking about Oak City at the beginning of the series, I probably would have picked the Cavs. But, you know, but this is the one team that I don't think the Cavaliers can beat the way they are constructed, or at least the way they play the game. That's the problem.
Yeah, and you know what? You've been consistent about it, and you're right, obviously, sitting where we are now at 3-1, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't disagree. My son asked me today who I had tonight, and I said I think Golden State wins it. They're 48 minutes away from another title. They can smell the champagne already. They're ticked off and furious that Draymond got suspended. They're going to do this for him. They'll probably dedicate it to him. They want to win this thing in front of their home fans, all the rest. But I'm going to go out here and say it. If the Cavaliers shock the world and somebody catches fire and they take these guys down, I think they're coming back to the queue and it's going to be just a freaking zoo. And at Quicken Loans Arena, they will win Game 6 and then go back and probably lose Game 7 anyway, which is what I said originally in this series, that it would be the Warriors in 7. But I'm going to go ahead and give them an idea. Hey, last thing, how cool would it be? And I don't know, because I heard Greeny and Golic talking about this morning. How cool would it be? It not cool, because, you know, you want the Cavs to win, or anybody who's listening to us probably does. But how interesting is it that Draymond Green, as an ejectee, not an ejectee, as on the suspended list for this game, is not allowed to be in the building. He cannot be in the building tonight. So if they win and when they win, what does he do? Come running in from the parking lot in street clothes and join the celebration and the champagne waterfall, the whole 9 yards? Because he doesn't even get there to be there for a series that he had a big, big part in winning.
Yeah, I wonder what the technicality is there. Whatever it is, they'll figure it out and he'll be part of the celebration. That's the least of their concerns right now, but I'm sure
I just hope they don't let him in. I mean, because you know what, D-Man, who was it? It was Bryce Harper. And I know it's baseball, so, you know, it's apples and oranges. The rules are different or whatever. But Bryce Harper got suspended, if you remember, or not suspended, ejected. He got ejected from a game. Jim, do you remember who was against? It was about three weeks ago, Kush. He got ejected from a game. I don't know if it was Argon Balls and Strikes, whatever it was. And then the Nats came back and won on a walk-off. And he came pouring out of the clubhouse back up onto the field to celebrate the walk-off and the home run. And he ended up getting suspended because he wasn't allowed to come back onto the field after being ejected. So, you know, he came back on, and once you're ejected, period, for the duration, including whatever is happening on the field after the game. So I hope to God, because, I mean, I'm just tired of Draymond Green's punk antics. I'm tired of people defending him. I'm tired of having him affect other men's family planning on such a regular basis. I'm just tired of it, and I hope they send a message saying, no, you're suspended. You can't be in that building, and that includes when this game is over. You're not there today. That's the way it is.
Well, just
go celebrate on TV.
Just throwing it out there.
By the way, Bob,
I heard it and looked it up. He's not obviously allowed in the building during the game, but as soon as the game goes final, especially this case if the Warriors win, he's allowed back in for the celebration. And my understanding, he's going to be sitting at the A's game across the street in a suite at the Coliseum.
Hey, Bob, by the way, did you see the clip of Juan Uribe getting hit by Mike Trout's grounder?
I did not. No, sir.
Oh, my Lord. Dude, you have to see that. Mike Trout, vicious ground ball, takes a hop over the heel of Uribe's glove and hits him right in the you-know-what.
Oh.
And I mean, and Uribe went down like he was shot. I mean, he reached for the ball, and then he just fell over. They had to cart him off the field. He was in that much pain.
Wow. Yeah. So he wasn't,
if you ever get
he
a
wasn't
chance,
wearing the cup, or, huh?
Well, I hope he was. If he wasn't, he would not have left the field. They were buried him right
there. They carted him off, so I was assuming he wasn't. But you know what? I thought you were going to say it skipped and hit him square between the eyes or something. It was like, you know, career threat.
Oh,
But from what you described, I heard that Draymond Green saw that, and he stood in and gave a standing ovation. He applauded that.
Draymond, you know what? I got an endorsement opportunity for Draymond Green. The Draymond Green Industrial Strength Cup. He could make money off it.
Yeah, maybe he could. Maybe he could. That's
this
a good
cup,
idea.
This cup is so strong that you cannot hurt me.
This cup is so good. No, not hurt me, but that I can't hurt you. I'll be the official cup
tester.
There
you go. There you go.
All right. Hey, D-Man, thanks a lot. We appreciate the analysis. Good stuff on Draymond and on game number 5. We'll talk to you again. And you know what? After the series is over, maybe probably not until next week, but we'll get together and do a little postseason analysis and see what changes are in store for a team that won the Eastern Conference, went to back-to-back finals, but according to almost everybody, is certain to be broken up in some capacity next year. We'll talk about what those possibilities are. All right, bud?
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You got it. There we go. All right, so we'll get a timeout here. It's 3:39, so we'll get a timeout here and get a SportsCenter update. We'll come back in. We want to take your phone calls. We are guest-free the rest of the day. So anything you want to talk about related to sports, by the way, anything you want to talk about is fair game. We'll get you up and on the radio. Today is a day, just in case, I tweeted this out myself a short while ago, and I'm going to say it again live on the radio now. Today is a day that the whole country is talking about something else, and when the whole country is talking about something as horrific as the atrocity. See, a tragedy is an earthquake. A tragedy is a wildfire. A tragedy is a tsunami. This is an atrocity. This is an actual attack on people. That's not a tragedy, because a tragedy implies accidental. So this atrocity that was committed in Orlando, Florida, the entire country is talking about it. I've been talking about it. I've been tweeting about it. I've been doing shows about it. But you know what? I said this a short while ago on Twitter. I'll say it again now. Thank God for sports. Thank God in heaven above, it's days like this that I really, really appreciate the fact that we have this distraction, this diversion from all of that stuff, from wars, from attacks, from hatred, from violence, to this, to that, to the other, that we can take some time and talk sports with one another and talk about Game 5 and the stuff that doesn't really matter a lick to anything, to anybody, when it's compared to what's really out there. And that's what we're doing today, so I want to talk about that. I want to stay exactly here in this toy box that we call sports. It's a place where we go to just lose ourselves and be kids again and enjoy this conversation. So if you have something you want to hit on the way to the NBA, the NBA Finals, in the American League Central continuing to be very interesting, the Indians holding on to first place out of Cleveland, the Tigers still trying to catch and keep pace there. A lot of stuff to get into. And by the way, congrats to the Pittsburgh Penguins. She forget to mention the NBA or the NHL Finals. The Stanley Cup champions now for the first time in 7 years are the Pittsburgh Penguins. They took down San Jose at San Jose last night. So we have a number of other things to get into. We'll do that together right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket.
The extravaganza does roll on now at 3:48. We're going to take you until 5 o'clock drive time with Mr. Miller coming up. Anything you want to talk about is fair game today right here. We're kind of treating it like a free-for-all Friday only because there's only a handful of real small, well, I shouldn't say a small handful of big stories for us to get into, and I want to make sure that we open it up for whatever your thoughts are on this. I do want to play a couple of audio clips, though, to kind of give some other people's opinions of whether or not the NBA did the right thing, Kiki Vandeweghe, the league's disciplines are, if you will, deciding to suspend Draymond Green, not for the hit on LeBron James' junk during that altercation in game number four, but for he decided basically to skip over the technical foul and to upgrade the action, the foul, the violation, whatever you want to call it, about Green or from Green, from a common foul to just passing over a technical foul and saying it's a flagrant. It's a flagrant one. And it's that flagrant one which, of course, has triggered the suspension for Draymond Green. The fact is he had three flagrant foul points racked up already in this NBA postseason.
And two of those were on the after-the-fact Steven Adams incident. Remember that? After that, they ruled out a flagrant two, so that's two of the three or four right there.
And that's one of the biggest problems I have, Jim Cushman. That is exactly what I mean. That flagrant two should have resulted, for all of those who are defending, and there's a lot of people, by the way, including other NBA players, defending Draymond Green, saying that he shouldn't have been suspended for that. First of all, they're misunderstanding. He wasn't suspended specifically for that. Again, it was upgraded to a flagrant, and it's all of the other cumulative things leading up to what ended up being the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. That is what got him suspended. But a lot of players and a lot of other people are defending Draymond Green. And for me, this is something where if the NBA had been calling things right on the court, the way they finally decide what is right in between games, he would have been ejected because that flagrant two that he should have gotten, it was upgraded after the game, would have gotten him ejected. And that was early in late in the first or early in the second quarter in Oklahoma City when he hit Steven
Adams? I think it was early second in that game. It was one of the ones that they lost in OKC.
So he would have been suspended possibly for, you know, for...
Game four, because I think it was game three.
No, it wouldn't have been a suspension. I'm saying he would have been ejected.
Oh, ejected, right.
So he would have missed at least 2.5 quarters, okay? Because, you know, had they called the flagrant two, it's an automatic ejection
right
on the spot. So the league said, yeah, that should have been a flagrant two. That was a flagrant two. And so, therefore, he would have been ejected. So they should have said there was X amount of time left in that game. He would have been ejected had they called it correctly, which they did not. So, therefore, we are ejecting him from the first whatever amount of time in this next game. And it's a rule change. I know it sounds radical that I would be calling for a rule change, but it is what I'm calling for. Because he absolutely earned a suspension earlier or an ejection earlier in the playoffs. The fact that he did not get one is a mistake. So back to the point now. Let's talk about those players who are defending Draymond Green, saying he should not have gotten this. One of them is Charles Barkley. Now, this actually isn't a response to the suspension because he didn't know this at the time, but he basically said Draymond Green did nothing wrong by punching LeBron James from behind between his legs and trying to punch him in his, family planning area, and we all know the history, but that's what Barkley said. I want to play a little bit of this for you, see if we can listen into.
We had Draymond on the show the other night. I said, and he said, and you can just tell. He said when he stepped over me, and I gave Draymond a compliment. I said, you could have played in our day, because when a guy steps over you, you have a moral obligation to punch him in the you have a moral obligation for a guy, because that's really disrespectful to step over a guy. You're supposed to pop him in his junk if he steps over you like that.
Have you ever heard, and I've been watching the NBA for a long time, I never heard about the unwritten code in which you have a moral obligation to punch a guy in the junk if he steps over you. So Tyronn Lue should have punched Allen Iverson.
That's the first thing I thought of. So we should have had a Tyronn Lue scuffle with Iverson in that finals. Gosh, 15 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, you should have just blasted him in the in the Koulians. You know, I've never heard anybody phrase it quite the way Barkley did.
To me, Bob,
so you're saying that's a perfectly fine response. So what if he gets?
That's a perfectly fine response.
Wow.
If a guy does that, now you got to act like you didn't try to do it. I will admit that. You got to act like you didn't mean to do it. But listen, man, and I can say it. I told Draymond that when somebody steps over you, they're doing that intentionally to just like rub it in your face.
To rub what in his face? The Warriors were winning at the time. To me, what LeBron James did in stepping over Draymond Green was essentially to say, I'm sick of you hanging on me, pulling me down, pushing on me, not getting, LeBron James played what? How many minutes did he play in game four? He played, I want to say, some 43 minutes maybe out of the 48. He wasn't down for long. He had a huge, huge minute total. And for him to go to the foul line.
46.
46 minutes. He played all but 2 minutes?
Yep.
For him to play 46 out of 48 minutes and only get four free throws, two trips to the line, two foul calls against him in the act of shooting, considering how much they hang all over him, is absolutely criminal. It's criminal. It's just wrong. And so for me, I think it was LeBron saying, get off me. You've been hanging on me, pulling me, pushing me, dragging me, et cetera, et cetera. Stepping over him was just a way of saying, get off me. I don't think it was an attempt to disrespect. It wasn't an attempt to humiliate. It wasn't an attempt to hurt. Obviously, he didn't step on his chest the way Christian Laettner did for Duke against, I don't even remember who the heck it was from 1992. He didn't step on him. He stepped over him. So that's part one. Part two of this for me is Draymond Green has brought this on himself. He's more than just a hothead. He's a cheap shot artist. And when you're a cheap shot artist, you absolutely, racking up the number of flagrant fouls and technical fouls that he has, you absolutely have no right to complain when you get one that is marginal, perhaps, and it's the one that puts you over the line into suspension territory. He brought that on himself. LeBron James' step over didn't bring that on himself. If you want to live up to your moral obligation, as Charles Barkley describes it, if you want to live up to your moral obligation to hit the other guy in the junk when he steps over you, then you don't get to play junk kicker to Steven Adams, junk kneer to Steven Adams, throwing to the ground to Michael Beasley, and all the other crap that he's conducted himself in over the course of these playoffs. Leave yourself some room for the moral obligatory junk punch after a step over. Because any other player in this series, if he'd have done the same thing, wouldn't be in suspension right now, because it wouldn't be their fourth flagrant point. This guy asked for what he got by an entire season, and certainly by a postseason, of attacking other players viciously, without cause, without provocation, and quite frankly, without any excuse whatsoever. So that's the problem that I've got. And if Stephen A. Smith and Charles Barkley and all these other people want to complain about LeBron James getting away with something because he's LeBron James and Draymond Green what being treated unfairly. Here, let's hear this.
Your opinion of the flagrant one assessment which triggered the one-game suspension of Draymond Green.
I think it was completely bogus, excessive, and completely uncalled for on the part of the NBA. I don't like the decision at all. I think that it potentially robs the Golden State Warriors of a championship victory in Game 5 of this NBA Finals. And I got to tell you something. When I think about it, obviously, I recognize the fact that the NBA has its point. Kiki Vandeweghe, the VP for Basketball Operations, you just heard from him. He made his points. He and I spoke before I took off for San Francisco. He articulated the fact that Draymond Green had a history, that he had 3 points already against him, that he was warned after the whole Steven Adams incident not to let anything remotely close to what transpired happen again. In my opinion, it wasn't close to what transpired in the Western Conference Finals. In my opinion, it was something that was instigated by LeBron James, certainly not intending for it to escalate to that point, but he's no innocent victim in all of this. The reality is clear. No punches were thrown, no fisticuffs took place.
How can he say no punches were thrown? A punch was thrown to LeBron James' groin from behind, a rabbit punch. That is a punch thrown, number one. Number two, don't tell me LeBron James instigated this. Look, I'll criticize LeBron James when he needs criticizing. Anybody who listens to this show knows that. Being a Cleveland Cavaliers fan has never stopped me from criticizing him because there are many things to criticize. However, he didn't step on Draymond Green's groin. He didn't step on Draymond Green's head or arm or anything else. He stepped over him from one foot on the ground to the other foot on the ground over the body of Draymond Green. That's not a physical attack. Is it disrespectful? Maybe. Is it a way of saying, get off me, and then I'm going to step over here just to kind of send a message to you? Possibly. Is it a physical contact against the other guy? No, it is not. So stop saying LeBron brought it on. He didn't bring it on. Draymond Green brought it on, just like he brought on all of the others on his way to his four flagrant foul points, Stephen A.
Anything like that, as far as I'm concerned, it should have been two technicals issued to both of them, and that should have been that. The fact that this is the NBA Finals, for a call like this to be made, I think is as egregious as it gets. I think it's a disgusting decision on a part of the NBA, and I'm incredibly disappointed by it.
But then again, this is the same Stephen A. Smith who also said that Draymond Green should not have been ejected for the Steven Adams flagrant 2 groin kick. So apparently he's got no problem with Draymond Green just going after other men in their family planners. That is a problem for me. All right, hour number one is in the books. We'll get some Sports Center coming your way. We'll come back and let's get some of your calls going as well. Hour number two, right around the corner on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
I found out right near the end of practice. I had no idea what to expect, and it's irrelevant anyway, whatever any of us feel. It's, we accept the ruling, and we move on to game five. They made their decision, and we've got to get ready for game five, and that's what we'll do today. We use everybody. We've used every single guy during the playoffs. They've all been important. And then as far as the game itself, we're going to play a lot of people, and we'll give a lot of different looks, and we'll compete like crazy, and I think we'll give ourselves a great chance to win.
One that happened last game was totally different. There was no play that happened. It was kind of one of those situations where you just want to add insult to injury. I don't know what LeBron's intention was. Like I said, you have to ask him. Draymond and thought it was disrespectful and wanted to get up and say something. That was his reaction to it. I would have probably done the same thing. There have been some cool moments where AI's done it, and obviously Ty Lue didn't like it at the time. Neither did any of the Laker team, but it was AI's cool moment, and everybody remembers it. You could single out a lot of different plays in the history of the game where you add a little insult to injury just, enjoying the moment.
I mean, it's disappointing, but I'm not going to let it get us down. We had the next man up approach all year. Draymond, we know it's going to kill him not being there, but we're going to go out there, and we're going to do it as a team and win for him and go out there and try and make a statement on our home floor.
I don't know how the man feels, or obviously people have feelings, and people's feelings get hurt, even if they're called a bad word. I guess his feelings just got hurt.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to comment on what Clay said, because I know where it can go from this sit-in. It's so hard to take the high road. I've been doing it for 13 years. It's so hard to continue to do it, and I'm going to do it again. At the end of the day, we got to go out. We got to show up and play better tomorrow night. And if we don't, then they're going to be back-to-back champions. I'm taking the high road again.
We still have to play. I mean, it doesn't mean anything because he's suspended. They still have a great team, and we got to come out and play basketball. We can't worry about the suspension. Well, it's part of the game, and some guys, they thrive off, talking stuff, on the floor. But, a lot of things are said on the floor that are not right. But, just part of the game, and I don't know what crossing the line is, but you just play the game. I mean, the trash talking happens, but if you're winning the game, you should talk trash. Do something about it. Just win one game. Bring everything we got to win one game. And I told the guys before we left, we have to come back to Cleveland anyway, so why not come back and play a game? We got to give everything we got. Our backs are against the wall, and we got to be prepared just to win one game.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
That is exactly what it is. Bob France here. Jim Cushlin is here as well. We would love for you to be a part of the conversation with us at 866-240-1065. We are guest-free for the rest of the program, so for the next 48 minutes of scintillating dialogue and discussion, we can bring you into it. If you have got something you want to say, even debate, dialogue, discuss, or debate. If that's where we've got to go, that's where we'll go. So if you would like to talk with us, by all means, hit us up, 866-240-1065. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter, At Sports Radio 106.5, Sports Radio 106.5. We'll get you here on Twitter. And then you can also join us on Facebook at 106.5 The Ticket. Twitter and Facebook, either one, is just fine with us. All right, so we'll get your thoughts up and on the radio one way or the other. We'd really rather talk to you so that we can talk with you and listen to you as well. Last thought on this, unless somebody else wants to talk more about it, by the way. LeBron James and Draymond Green dust up and the trash talk and everything else. Bottom line to me is that when you have a reputation that Draymond Green does, it's not by accident, okay? If the officials are going to err on one side or the other, they're going to err on the side. And by the way, in the game, they didn't even err on the side of LeBron James. In the game, they did not call the flagrant one. The league called it that after the fact. So if the league is going to err on one side or the other, the person who has got a reputation of being a cheap shot artist, a street punk on the court, that kind of thing, is always going to be looked at a little more closely, scrutinized just a little bit more, and if necessary, held a little bit more to account. LeBron James does not he's got a reputation in this league as a lot of things. A cheap shot artist isn't one of them. Somebody who disrespects opponents isn't one of them. He isn't somebody who trash talks or scowls in somebody's face after a dunk. He isn't a guy who, I mean, what he'll do is he'll look into the air and pound his chest. He'll look at his teammates and pound his chest and do all of that stuff. He doesn't instigate stuff with opponents. So if you are looking at this objectively, and I would love to talk to somebody who's not a Cavaliers fan, by the way, so that it can be made objective. You know, you might say, hey, I can't be objective as the host because I'm a Cavaliers fan. But I'm just saying this, in any sport, if you have a reputation of being the hothead, the cheap shot artist, the street punk, whatever it is you want to call somebody who does what Draymond Green does on a regular basis, you're going to lose that fight every single time. When there is doubt, doubt is going to be granted to the person who doesn't have the bad rep. And it isn't by accident that he has that rep. He brought this on himself. This suspension is not on LeBron James. This suspension is not on Steven Adams. This suspension is not on Kiki Vandeweghe. This suspension is on Draymond Green. He's the one who continues to do things no matter what he's told, no matter how many times he is told. You've got to dial back. You've got to control yourself. You've got to control your emotions and all the rest. No matter how many times he's told that, he ignores that. And now it finally caught up to him. That is on him. That is absolutely not on LeBron James or anybody else. So I want to be clear about that. I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'll go to some phone calls about this. They better be careful. While I agree with Dennis Manloff, who joined us in the first hour and said, I think the NBA Finals ends tonight. The Warriors will indeed win their back-to-back championships, and they will do so in comfortable fashion. But I'm going to go ahead and agree with one writer for Fox Sports, who said this, that the Warriors are testing fate by calling out LeBron James the way they are. See, they're mad that Draymond Green is going to be suspended for this game, and they're blaming LeBron rather than Draymond, as if LeBron was a part of the Beasley throwdown, as if LeBron was a part of the Steven Adams knee to the groin, as if LeBron was a part of the Steven Adams kick to the groin by Draymond Green. LeBron was only part of this for the fourth one, the last one. And they are calling him out. And they better be careful. I'm going to read a couple of the quotes because I think it's important. It's really important if you ask me. What they are saying, the Warriors I'm talking about, what they are saying, most of them are being a little bit kind of, how should we say, a little bit veiled in their criticism and in their statements. Some of them are coming right out, like Mo Spates, former Cavalier, by the way, Mo Spates. Let me just share some of this with you. And again, this is from Fox. This is a disappointment for the Warriors. It's a disappointment for Green. It's a disappointment for the NBA and a disappointment for true basketball fans everywhere because we won't be able to see Green on the court. But that's no one's fault but Green's, this writer writes. That is, unless you ask his teammates. The Warriors were more than happy to share their feelings about Green's suspension Sunday afternoon, and the way they tell the story, Green was wrongly accused, and he didn't deserve the punishment he received. Multiple players claimed that they were going to, quote, win it for Draymond, as if he was in the intensive care unit. Coach Steve Kerr, usually the coolest guy in the room, was seething during his media availability. The Warriors were ticked. Not at Green. The subtext of the comments was crystal clear. They blamed LeBron James for this. The Warriors believe that James' outspokenness about the incident and subsequent trash talk in the Game 4 postgame press conference put undue pressure on the league to suspend Green, lest it cross one of its big stars. Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, and Andrew Bogut all blamed LeBron James without pointing the finger. It was a masterclass in passive aggressiveness. But Mo Spates doesn't do passive aggressive. He went all in without a bit of nuance. Quote, a guy does something like that, you kind of lose respect for him. I had a lot of respect for LeBron over his career since he was in high school. But do things like that to get a guy suspended? That's kind of disrespectful, end quote. All right, the more I read this, the more angry I get, I got to tell you. And I'm going to tell you point blank, you know, again, if you listen to this show with any regularity at all, you know LeBron James is not my favorite player. Kyrie Irving is my favorite Cav. LeBron James, I have a very, very mixed opinion of LeBron James on the all-time greatness charts. And quite frankly, on my support for him as a player, given, you know, the way things went down in his career. And I'm talking, of course, about going to Miami and everything that came along with that. So I am not a defender of LeBron James. I'm not the guy who's going to get out here and say, how dare you say something bad about the king? No, that's not me. I'll criticize him, and I have, when he deserves to be criticized. You know what? I haven't criticized him over Jim Cushlin.
What?
Game four.
Yeah.
How he played. He had a near triple-double with 25 and like 12 and 9 or something.
Yep.
And they were just about the most quiet 25, 12, and 9 you'll ever see. He was largely...
He's had two or three of those this series.
Ineffective, yes. He was a non-factor for most of that game. In fact, the last, what, four to six points, or maybe more, maybe 8 points that he had.
Garbage time layups in the final
minute. Garbage time at the end, bingo. Because for a large part of that game, especially in the first half, when they needed him to lead, and instead they were led by Kyrie, LeBron James deferred again and again. He didn't trust his jumper, and he knew he couldn't keep getting to the rack. So even though there were lanes to go to the rack, he didn't want to test it and get jumped when he got there, so he deferred and gave the ball up. He did not play well. He did not lead. He did not do what, you know, Phil Jackson said he needed to do.
Right.
Phil Jackson said, Jordan up. He needs to put on the cape, like Mike did. He needs to put on the cape and say, follow me, I'm going to do this thing for you. That's what superstars do. He didn't do it at all in a must-win game four. So that just proves to you I am not an apologist for LeBron James because I happen to be a Cavaliers fan, and I have been since I was a kid.
Now, flip side for me, Bob, is that, and don't misunderstand, this is me defending Draymond Green. To me, what this whole incident helps bring to light, it, you point out what Mo Spates said in regards to LeBron. Actually,
No, I didn't. Not yet. I'm not even done with him.
All right. Well, point is, I almost tip my cap a little to LeBron. That's knowing your surroundings in a way. But to me, one of the real issues here is something that the NBA has to look over. We've been hearing them talk about things that they might change, like the free throw thing, for months now. The one thing they should look over is how they do this flagrant point system. Honestly, if anything, this whole thing is educating me enough to say that maybe it should be bumped to 6 points instead of four.
Why? Well, how many times do you want to give Draymond Green a chance to knee somebody in the balls?
I knew that question was coming,
really?
And that's why I refer you back to the East Finals. Remember in Game 6 of that East Finals, they went to the review and then took a basket away and gave a flagrant to Bismack Biyombo. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And had there then been a Game 7... he would have been suspended for it because that at the time was his fourth flagrant point. I said then that felt a little wrong, and the point part of the system feels a little wrong, you know, on this front too, and maybe that's something the NBA should look at.
Why? I don't have any problem with it. I mean, we're talking about in an entire playoff. You know, if a guy is such a loose cannon that he's getting four flagrant fouls, flagrant. That means you're putting somebody at risk. That means it's got to be pretty bad to get a flagrant. Otherwise, it might just be a T. If you're getting four flagrant fouls, you don't belong on the court anymore. It's the only way for the officials to even remotely try to keep some control of the wild, out-of-control players out there flailing arms and legs and everything else. You want to up that to six. You're just going to put more players in danger. And guess what they're going to do? What they're going to do if they feel like the league is not defending them and protecting them from wild, out-of-control players who are physically assaulting other guys, they're going to defend themselves, and they're going to get out of control. And it's going to become something much more ugly than anything we have seen in a long time. The league needs to rein in these guys. Quite frankly, I don't even know if there needs to be a point system. I just think referees need to have the you-know-whats, the onions, if you will,
call it right there on the floor. That I completely agree with.
You see somebody throw a punch at somebody's, you know what, throw them out of the game, period, done. I don't need to wait for the league to review it in the next 2 days and then decide, yeah, it was a flagrant two, probably should have thrown them out. No, just do it. Get them out of there and gain control of the freaking game. Put the referees back in charge and not the NBA's league offices. Then we don't need point totals. Then we don't need keep stats on flagrants and technicals. And what is it, four flagrant points or seven
four,
technicals?
Yeah, seven technicals, four flagrant points get you an automatic one-game suspension.
No,
now, that last part, though, I completely agree with. But part of this is the officials abdicating the duty and not calling the proper call right then and there.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And that's part in part because the league doesn't want them to. The league wants to review everything and make their own minds up. And it's annoying. Let me finish Mo Spates. I want to get some calls. A guy who does that, you lose respect for him. To do things like that, to get a guy suspended, that's disrespectful. That just bothers me, as if LeBron was trying to get Draymond Green suspended. Part one, LeBron was just frustrated because he was continuing to be tangled up with Draymond Green, who was being very, very... By the way, if I was defending LeBron James, I would do what Draymond Green does. I would be physical with him. I'd be riding him. I'd be pulling him, tugging him, hugging him, and everything else. Do whatever you got to do because he's such a tremendous offensive force. Do what you have to do on him. If you are physically big and strong enough to run and stick with LeBron James to do those things, you do it.
By the way,
LeBron was bothered by it. And so when LeBron stepped over him, it was out of frustration.
Yep.
Just get off me. Not out of trying to disrespect him, not out of trying to get him suspended. Because part two, to think that LeBron James is thinking in the middle of game, man, if I just get Draymond Green out of the game, then we'll go on to win. No, I'm quite certain he's thinking about other things, about whether or not he can do something to goad Draymond Green into acting a fool again so that he gets kicked out of the game.
By the way, I'm glad you brought that part up too, because, you know, the timeline of this, remember, it was yesterday afternoon that the NBA went official with their announcement of this Green suspension. And I remember reading a lot of national guys on Saturday, and one of their big themes is, it's been a long time, if ever, that I've seen LeBron this frustrated and this upset about these things. All that went away, I noticed, after the suspension thing came down.
I mean, he is frustrated, and he's frustrated for a good reason. Tyronn Lue just got a $25,000 fine because he's frustrated by, and you heard what he said.
Yep.
He said LeBron gets no calls. And I got to tell you, usually the superstar treatment, that exists in this league and has for a long time would make that a nonsensical statement. But guess what? It makes sense. He played 46 minutes in Game 4 and went to the line twice. Four free throws, two trips to the line. Are you with as many times as he drove the basket? Are you kidding? He isn't getting calls. And that frustration
that's the other thing. The referees swallowed their whistles on both sides in that game 4.
No question about it, which, of course, benefits whom? It benefits the jump-shooting team.
Yep.
Because the team that relies on getting to the rim as often as Kyrie and LeBron do, and they're not calling fouls and they swallow their whistles, they are at a huge disadvantage there. The rest of what Mo Spates said was this. It's messed up to suspend a man over nothing. If somebody put and I'm just going to say it because I said it again, and hope people understand and what we're trying to do here. If somebody put they balls on your head, what are you supposed to do? Blank R on, and that one was an expletive. I don't know what word he used. They cut it out of the story that I'm reading, okay? Blank R on the back of his head. It's kind of messed up, man, but hey, end quote. So he, again, is trying to make it look like LeBron James, A, was intentionally trying to get him suspended, and then B, was trying to disrespect him by putting his own crotch, and I'll be gentle now with the words, on top of somebody's head, on Draymond Green's head. The man was being yanked down by Draymond Green in the big tussle. Green is the one who hit the deck, and so LeBron stepped over him. It was just more of a frustrated, like, man, get off me, stomp away. If he really wanted to do something to hurt him, he would have stomped on him. He could have stepped on his head. He could have stepped on his chest. He could have stepped on his grapes. He could have done any number of things. He stepped over him, didn't make contact. So in stepping over him, Draymond Green from beneath and behind reaches up and throws that backhanded punch between LeBron's legs and into his baby bronze. That is something that is, I don't care who you are, immediate flagrant one because it's a punch. And given the fact that this guy's track record is something that he built himself, it is something that it warrants the suspension. So take that for what it's worth. This is what the Warriors are saying. But anyway, the gist of the piece from Fox that got this conversation going is, you know, there, and then Klay Thompson, too. Klay is saying this is a man's league. I guess he got his feelings hurt. And then Mo Spates tweeted out a picture of a baby bottle calling LeBron James a baby over this whole thing. The point of this article was, you know what? Be very, very careful about what bear you're poking here. Be very careful. Because there is a line that you may cross that may rededicate him and give him another gear. The kind of gear that he had when he was playing for the Cavaliers against the Pistons Game 5 in 2000.
I was just going to make that reference. That's, if you're the Warriors, that's the bear you don't want to be poking. Game 5, 07 in Detroit, LeBron.
If he cranks back the clock, Jim, and goes back and plays like that and just finds that fount of youth and explosiveness, they're going to be very, very sorry. They mocked him during this whole thing, all out of fake outrage over Draymond Green. All right, let me go to Joe in Toledo. Joe, thanks for being patient while we monologued our way through that, but we had to get some of that stuff in there. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Joe in Toledo, I agree about the fat lady singing, you know, game's never over, and I never, ever do that. But at my point, I want to compare it to Melo, when Melo took the swing. Remember, I guess it was in Detroit?
Yeah, sure.
Melo was a points leader. That points average, 28, 29 something, for 2 years in a row. And then that big fight happened. Melo didn't instigate the fight. He wasn't part of the fight, but he took a swing, and it was kind of a phantom swing, 2 feet away from anybody. He missed everybody. But he got 15 games for taking a swing. And I'm going to compare that to Draymond, or say Ntamukong Suh. You know, he's instant suspensions for, you know, we're going to get this guy under control. And if I were Draymond, I would watch out for next year. But,
well,
you know, like,
you know, that's a great point. Well, first of all, let's talk about this year and this one game suspension. You're 100% right about that. But talking about next year in the regular season, that's something I think they need to address too. How many times do we see guys like Draymond Green, and Jim, we covered this before, too. He said at the beginning of the season that he's putting a portion of his salary, his annual salary
aside. He said that back in October.
To pay for fines because of all the texts and the flagrants that he planned to get. So, Joe, this is the point. The league obviously doesn't take this stuff seriously enough. They don't punish enough, like you said, with that 15 games that Carmelo got for that sucker punch. They don't take it seriously enough when these guys are just saying, yeah, it's cool. I'll just pay my fines for my flagrants and my technicals and my ejections and my whatevers out of this. And there's nothing that's going to stop me from doing it. They need to hang these guys out for a long time if they want to regain control of the game.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You can't say something to Judge Judy. You can't say something to your dean at school. You can't say something to the Toledo police. Oh, I'm going to set money aside for all my tickets or all everything I'm going to do to you, because they will set you in your place. They will tell you who you are. You need to respect us. This is a society. We all, and that's why we all, even I bet if you walked into the store and somebody was disrespecting the clerk, you'd say, hey, what are you doing? You know, it's, we
Absolutely.
Don't live like that.
No, I
we
completely
don't like
agree.
That.
And then the league has not, you know, kind of established that we are going to quote unquote police, if you want to use that analogy,
the mockery is
it is a mockery. That's exactly it. That's when guys feel like they can do whatever they want to do. And clearly, Draymond Green has gotten so used to doing, and so have the Warriors as a team. They've gotten so used to Draymond doing what Draymond does and getting away with it that they just they don't know how to handle it now that he's not getting away with it for a change. They feel cheated. They feel disrespected. They feel like, you know, something is going wrong here. LeBron James is getting star treatment, favorite treatment by the NBA because they want to make the series go seven games. They just don't know how to handle it when Draymond doesn't get away with what Draymond has always done.
Yeah, never mock the fat lady.
Amen.
When she hasn't sang yet, then...
That's right, and she hasn't.
Oh, boy.
And you know what? I hope LeBron does. I really do. I hope he goes out there and rededicates himself and just has a monster night. Upsets them on their home floor. They have lost. They've lost three games this season in the regular season and playoffs at home, so it can be done. They beat them on their home floor, come back to Quicken Loans Arena out in Cleveland, shock them again, and bring it to a Game 7. Whatever happens, happens. But let them know and let Draymond Green know that if it all goes down that way, it was on him, and it's on his head that if they don't win their championship tonight, you know, that that he's the person who takes the blame.
Well, good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you,
you know where
man.
I stand on it.
Great call, Joe. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Good stuff. I'm going to go to Jerome in Toledo next, right here on ESPN 106.5.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, sir. What's going on?
There's a couple of things. I want to switch. You know what? This is why the NBA will never rival the NFL.
Why?
The NFL promotes teams. The NBA promotes stars. We have to have stars. We don't want our stars bothered. Now, I'm not saying LeBron. I'm not saying this is what has happened for years. It's about the stars. We have to keep our stars in order. Promote teams, not stars. We would like to see the Cavaliers. There's a lot of people that want to see the Cavaliers win a championship for the state of Ohio.
Right.
Not really caring about LeBron. It's just that LeBron is there. Let's promote teams. One thing that I think that the NBA needs to do, set a sample of rules and then follow those rules. If they had a suspended him when they were supposed to have suspended him, and you know when that was, the last time when this thing, it should have been a flagrant two, he should have been gone. It's one thing that my mom and dad have always told me. I don't care what the situation is. If you're right, you're right. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. It doesn't make any difference who it is.
Well, your mom and dad are very smart people because that's a great message to teach you. No,
okay. Sure,
good for them. God bless. That's awesome. But you're right about that too. If they would just do it right the first time, then we wouldn't be sitting here right now. This guy knows, and they know he should have been suspended for the Steven Adams situation. They know full well he got away with it when they upgraded it to a flagrant two from a flagrant one after the game. So now you don't miss any time. If
right.
They would just go back and apply common sense to the rules,
Thank you. Guys
like Draymond Green. Would be gone. And
your point,
by the way, is very well taken. The NFL does promote. I mean, they promote their stars too. Cam Newton being on the cover of Madden, and who's going to be on it this year? Is it Odell?
You know, but when it all comes down to it, it's about the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, you're going to have stars. There's no doubt about that. But the NFL promotes the Dallas Cowboys. They promote the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're going to have stars. That's the way sports is built. But
I don't disagree with that at all. Let me add this to it though, and this is probably the reason why. The NBA, quite honestly, can't promote teams because it is really an unbalanced league. Whereas the NFL is a much more parity-ridden league, meaning that you can go from worst to first in pretty much a year or two. In the NBA, especially with superstars all kind of conglomerating now and joining one another the way they have
right.
been doing, they don't have a lot of teams to promote. So all they can
That's
do is promote
thing.
Their stars.
Great,
they don't have a whole
point.
Lot of choices there.
Great point. See, my thing is 80s. We were talking, yeah, you had Magic, you had Bird, but they were talking Celtics against the Lakers. You had your stars, Celtics against the Lakers, but they still promote stars. Stop looking for the next Michael. Stop looking for the next Kobe. Let's stop worrying about discipline. Get a set of rules. We should be talking about the game itself and not what the game encompasses as far as discipline.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. That's a very, very good point that you make.
You know.
And I'll tell you what, if they really, really want to regain control of the game and take it away from guys,
because they're out of control.
Who think they're above it. Yeah, it's very simple. And it doesn't happen in the league offices. Train the officials to actually be officials.
Thank
These
you.
Guys are so afraid of offending
Thank
the star,
you.
So afraid of the coach, you know, the Greg Popoviches, et cetera. Tell them,
Thank
look,
you.
We are in control of the game. You
and we
this,
run it.
You're gone, and that's it. It's that simple.
Thank you. If you want to get rid of 1-2 technicals, have a nice day, see you next game. Let's get real.
Yeah, no. Here's the other thing. You know, what's interesting to me, Jerome, you just made a comparison to the NFL. I think the better comparison in this part of the story is to Major League Baseball. You don't
there
get
you
two technicals
Thank
in
you.
Major League Baseball. If a manager argues a call or if a
See
player
you.
Argues a call, you know, and goes over the line the first time, you're just
See
getting
you.
The hook. You're just done.
See you.
Get out. We're not going to allow
that. And if you don't get out of here too soon, we'll have security come and remove you.
That's exactly it. And I think officials need that freedom to say, I see something like that. Not necessarily arguing a call with them, but something that's egregious to the other guys, to the other team. They have the right to just give them the hook right now. And I think you see that. You do that, you'll see a lot less of this.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Jerome. Great call, brother. Good stuff. Appreciate it. Let me go to Perrysburg. I want to get Tony on the air. Tony, you're on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. How are you, man?
I'm pretty good, Bob. I'm pretty good. I tell you what, I'll start off by saying I got no horse in the game. Actually, I don't like either team all that much.
Fair enough.
Kind of feel sorry for the Cavs and Golden State. I'm just sick of. But it sounds like you guys are trying to make excuses on why they've been pretty much slack in the finals.
No, who's making an excuse? You know what my excuse is? My excuse has been this. The Warriors are better. I've been saying that
Absolutely.
For, you know, three out of the four games now. The Warriors are flat out better. There's no excuses here. I'm just sick and tired of the excuses the Warriors are making about Draymond Green, you know, who's just quite frankly been a cheap shot punk for a large part of this postseason.
Well, I'm not gonna defend the cheap shots. Much, especially the leg kick, the punch last night, I don't know how carried away I'm going to get with that. But I will say this.
Yeah.
Said something about earlier that LeBron played all but 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And he didn't get any fouls called on him. That's not Green's fault. Just like in the NFL, an offensive lineman's going to hold until the official throws the flag.
No. Nobody's saying that's Green's fault. That is the official's fault. What I said was, if LeBron is going to the basket as much as he is, and he is, he's going a ton, and he's getting hammered, he's getting ridden, and whether it's Green or it's Iguodala or if it's Thompson or if it's Bogut switching over or whatever, if he's not getting them, you know, getting those calls at the basket, he's getting frustrated. So what I'm saying is in the incident that happened between him and Green, Green is hanging all over him. They're physicaling with one another, and I know that's not a verb, but they're battling with one another physically, and when they get tangled up like that and Green goes down, LeBron stepping over him isn't he didn't try to hurt him or anything else. It's just an expression of frustration
that
says, get off me.
I do find that pretty I don't know, offensive.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it is, but you know what it isn't. But you know what it isn't, though. It's not a flagrant foul because he's not touching him. He's offending him.
Oh, I agree.
And guess what? And it's up to Draymond Green to not retaliate to the offensiveness.
I'd have been all right if they would have gave LeBron a technical and Green a flagrant. But the point is, they didn't call anything. Again, it falls on the league.
Yeah, and that's what's annoying. I'm so tired of the league fixing all of the non-calls or the wrong calls after a game, you know, the next day in the league offices in front of a video recorder or player. They really do need to empower the refs to do it on the court. You only come to us in the most extreme circumstances to see if we have to decide something.
I think they are empowered, though, aren't they? With all the replay and everything they have out there right now.
Yeah, but they're not calling it. No, they're not. They're not empowered. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The officials seem to me to be afraid to make their own mind up, to be afraid to say, yeah, this guy just kicked Steven Adams right between his goalposts, for crying out loud. That's a flagrant two. You're out of here. They're so afraid to do that. They're like, well, we're not sure. We'll let the league decide later on.
The
and then the league decides later on. It's too late to impose a punishment.
who are they afraid of, though? The coaches, the league, the owners?
I think the league. That's what I mean. I think the league. I think they're afraid of throwing guys out, especially guys on big-time teams, championship teams, that sort of thing. I think they're just afraid of their own shadow, and they're just waiting and saying, I don't want to take the heat for making the wrong decision here. I'll let Kiki handle it. I'll let Adam Silver handle it. I'll let the rest of the front office guys handle it. They'll figure it out. And that, to me, is the problem. The officials have lost either their nerve or their confidence or whatever you want to call it, but they have lost control of the actual game.
Well, and they're immune when they're out there on the court. At least out there on the court, nobody can do anything to them.
Well, no, but it's after the fact. No, it's an after the fact thing. You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we don't know what goes on with officials and how they're evaluated. But I promise you, if they start tossing guys out, even though they need to be, if they start tossing the wrong guys out at the wrong times, and the league starts coming down on them for that and saying, "Look at this, we're about to play game five with, you know, without three stars, two from one team and one from the other, because you guys are getting whistle happy and ejection happy," that's what I think they're afraid of, being judged like that, and then being punished or suspended or fined or whatever, or not given playoff assignments, all those kinds of things that happen when you review officials' conduct and performance. And I think that's what it comes down to.
The inverse can't be much better for these guys.
I suppose not, but that's where
I
got to run, brother.
I
appreciate
good.
It, man. Hey, I got to get some other people on. Let me get one more from Kent in Toledo. I know we're way past our break here for SportsCenter, but let's keep it rolling while we can. Kent, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, I don't think the officials are afraid of anything. I think they've been explicitly told what to do.
That's a little more conspiratorial than I would have gone to, but go ahead, explain.
Well, the thing is, they haven't called anything in this series. This has been street ball. They've let everything go. So LeBron can get mad about fouls not being called, but I see it on both sides. They're doing more injustice by not calling stuff than they would be by overcalling stuff. This is ridiculous, this series. But this is the league does this stuff because they want to hold all the power in New York, where their head office is. For example, this fine or suspension is totally bogus. But the design is to make it go at least one more game so that they can get more revenue. That's what the whole thing's about. They want the call to be made in New York so they can assess things and say, hey, do we want to make, you know, can we make this go another game? Or at least not make it go another game, but at least, tip the hand, to tip the scale a little bit to see if we can get it. They don't expressly try to make the outcome, but they do try to influence the outcome. And they do it through the refs.
What you're saying is, again, it's pretty conspiratorial, but you make some points. You really do. I will not dismiss your idea at all here. But why do you think, though, they were so hesitant when they made that decision, when they sit up there and make their decisions and kind of hash everything out? Why didn't they suspend him for the Adams kick? Wouldn't it have been a big deal for the league to try to get Draymond Green out of that game so that the Thunder could win again at home, and even that they were actually they went up 3-1, which they ended up doing. But wouldn't that have been better for the league to give the Thunder another shot to close out the Warriors?
It would have been, but see, the league was thinking, you know what, if the Thunder go up 3-1, this is over. So we got to make this go 2-2 and see if, because they wanted the Warriors in it. They wanted this matchup. This is the best thing they could have had because this is the numbers matchup. Even if it would have been the Thunder, it wouldn't have been as highly rated as it is with the Warriors. They wanted.
There's two things about that. The defending champions and the 73 wins that they have this year, you're right. They certainly want to see that team playing for a repeat championship. And then the second part of that is the market. You know, the San Francisco Bay Area is the fourth largest media market in the country after New York, L.A., Chicago. They're fourth, and Oklahoma City is next to nothing. But from a competitive standpoint, I think they would have had great theater with Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving going one-on-one and LeBron James and Kevin Durant, because they play the same positions, ones and threes, going head-to-head, a rematch of LeBron and Durant in the finals from when he was in Miami. I think that would have been a great, great matchup for ratings. Again, other than the market size, I think that would have still had a big, big play had they been okay with Oklahoma City going.
I think it would have been nice, too, but I think this was the matchup that they thought was a dream matchup. They just never thought the series would get out of control like this. I figured it would. I think it's still going to end tonight. I think it's going to be just the opposite of when they did Green the first time.
Yeah.
The first time, honestly, if they would have kicked him out, I think the Warriors would have won that game because I think they would have played harder, smarter, and thought better and went ahead and did it.
And it is interesting that they didn't boot him in that Oklahoma City series, and Oklahoma City won anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. It always goes back. And real quick, because I know you got to go.
Yes, sir.
But my whole thing is this. Is I remember back in the 90s, I kept saying these players are on steroids that for baseball. That one guy came out and said everybody was on steroids, and no one believed him because he's a scumbag. He's a scumbag.
Consenco is what you're thinking of.
Yeah. And I go, you know what? Believe scumbags, because scumbags are scumbags because they're in it with other scumbags.
They know more than anybody else, don't they?
Exactly. And I think the same thing about that ref that was found taking games about 10 years ago.
Tim Donahue.
I'm telling you, he was telling the truth. And I don't care what anybody says. The man, I can watch these, man, it's one thing to miss a call here and there, but when they miss calls that everybody else sees, that's got to tell people something. There's a, you know what? You're a professional, and you miss that call. That's like me taking a math test, and I can't get 10 plus 10. Something's wrong.
Yeah, it's a very good point, my friend. Hey, we got to run, Kent. Great stuff. I appreciate the call. Great insight, great passion as well. I absolutely love that. All right, I know we're way past. In fact, we might even be done here. We got Mike Miller coming up in Drive Time at 5 o'clock. Let's get a Sports Center now and then come back and wrap this bad boy up right here on 106.5 The T.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.